Blog Talk Radio.
You want real? I got real. Welcome to my house, Brick House. You heard? My name is Brick, and I want to thank you for calling in today and listening into the show. Before we get started, before I start running my mouth, also got to welcome in First Lady of Phone Fantasy Radio, Miss LaCrush Hart. Good evening, LaCrush.
I am
It's like one of them moments, you know, my hand is waving back and forth like, eh. I'm in one of those modes, but, you know.
Oh, no. That's no
good. Good times.
Well,
yeah.
You know. Well, I went through a moment. I went through a little something earlier today, too. But you know what?
Just push it aside, right?
Exactly. I made some lemonade just now, you know, with the lemons. I'm good. All right. I see we have an Eager Beaver on. One of our Eager Beavers from New Iberia. And where is that located again? Where is it again?
South Central Louisiana.
Club Patch down south. Where is that? New Iberia?
It is the sweetest, the saltiest, and the hottest. And the oiliest city on the earth.
The home of the cactus? The home of...
How's you going to say the home of the cactus?
The home of tumbleweed?
No. That's further west in Texas.
Okay. Good evening, Black Reporter. Good evening, Black Reporter. Thank you. Oh, Black Reporter, what you doing?
God,
you jumped to the audience today? Yeah, that was a lot of clapping.
That was a lot of clapping, Black Reporter.
How are you doing this evening, Black Reporter?
I'm doing good.
Good. Are you wrapped up about this evening's topic? Are you about to bust up this evening? You got something to say, ain't you?
Yes, I did. But I was going to ask Crush about our new segment that we're going to be doing on the Adult Zone.
Okay, well, see, once again, my trusty Trump friend, you get to have yourself. This is Brick's house. And
we're going to get into the show good.
Exactly. You didn't even eat. You don't come to my house and say, let's skip the entree, let's go straight to dessert.
This is all phone fantasy radio.
Understandable, but there is a process and an order to things.
Phone fantasy radio's building, but Brick House is written the first floor. And since I pay rent here, this is what I do in my apartment.
As long as
I don't wake up in the penthouse floor where the owner is, I'm good. We're going to get to that. Let's just get to our topic at hand. But before we do, got to bring on another caller. Maybe this one will keep you calm. But, you know,
gotta bring in
this
the
is why I got to bring her on, because she's the only one that can keep you calm. So I got to bring on.
Be that way.
Miss 225. I got to bring her on because, see, she's the only one that can keep you calm. Good evening, Miss 225.
Good evening.
Lady.
Good evening, Lacey.
The lady. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm okay. I'm at the hospital with my granddaughter.
Oh, no.
I'm doing grandma duty. She had asthma.
At the hospital?
Is she okay? Her asthma.
We had a strange day in South Louisiana as far as weather's concerned.
Oh, wow. The pollen and everything is real high.
It
went from sunshiny and 85 degrees to overcast and cool and 68 degrees in a matter of hours.
Oh, she said it's wet, too. And all that wet stuff got falling off the trees now. Gosh. So they give her a treatment, she's going to be okay? Get a little treatment?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to give her treatment and everything. She's doing better.
Oh, that's cool.
I let
cool.
her mama go home with the other children.
I feel so bad.
Myself, I sympathize So, seriously, I'm for it. I'm definitely for us butting our nose in this because and we're not you know, I'm only for it for the simple fact that it's not like they intentionally butt their nose in it because they see down the line how they can gain money from it. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they can't see, you know, this is really something that's humane. It really is something that, you know, it's a serious issue over there. And sometimes you do need to step in. You know what I mean? Because that's just the same thing as being here and, you know, the lady next door in your apartment is getting beat up by her boyfriend and you're not saying nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do that. That, like, I look at that as the same way. Like, if I'm here and my roommate gets in it with her boyfriend and I don't step in, then I'm gonna feel some type of way. So I'm looking at it as that, you know, that type of situation as far as I'm concerned when it comes to that particular subject. Do you not hear me talking? Can you not hear me?
I love you to death, but I strongly disagree with you.
But can you not
hear me? Okay, well, let her get her thought out before you disagree with it. I mean, she didn't finish getting out here.
I'm sorry.
And you already know.
I'm sorry.
But you like crush. Like, do you not hear me? Am I not talking right now?
That's the debate in me. My apologies. We can't be the world's policeman. We can't right every wrong. We can't be the world's policeman. We can't right every wrong that's out there. And this as, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I always used to listen to Paul Harvey because there are some times that I agree with him, and I agree with him on this point exactly. This is not one world. Meaning, we all don't see the same way. There are things they do in other countries that we would think would be so disgusting and so apprehensive and everything, and there are things that we do here in this country that other people would see as so disgusting and so apprehensive. And this is not one world. And no matter what you try to do to make it one world, it will never be.
Okay, so what do you suggest, Black Report? Since you're saying that that's wrong, what do you suggest? You suggest we turn our back on it and ignore it?
I suggest, yeah, let it be. Because,
but
like
you know
I said,
why?
We can't,
you know why we start? You know why I started though, right, Black Reporter?
We can't be the world's policeman.
Understandable, you said that already. But you know why I started, right? You know about the young lady that was already in America and they were trying to deport her, right?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. So technically, we was already involved.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're policing, but she was already on our soil. Once again, that's like me having a roommate, and my roommate is getting into a fight, and I do nothing to help my roommate. Or even if you're walking in a bar, and your friend get into something. No, we all have different views. He might have been wrong, but I'm not going to sit up there and let my friend get jumped by five guys. Or five girls and not put my two cents in. He may have been totally wrong. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm already there. You know, that's just my thought of it. You know, I know not to go to the bar with you. That's all I'm saying.
that was low.
You said you're not the police.
That was low.
You said you're not the police. We can't be that.
Mm-hmm.
But America is a melting pot.
Yeah.
So how did we start America? People came over here for a better chance. So if you're sitting there and you want to turn it all the way around, I understand sometimes we need to send some people you don't want here. You have to do some checking. But you can't just say no to everybody. You can't just be a yes. You know, you have to look at the situation.
Yeah.
And, yes, there are different viewpoints on everything, of where they grow up, how they raise, how they do different things. That's just like making mandatory sterilization for people on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain things, you have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Black Reporter, since you said no, that we shouldn't police other people, police other countries. Do you feel the same way if it has to do with religion?
As far as what?
Okay, like, for example, take, for example, that Egypt. Egypt is but the majority of Egypt practices the religion, they're Muslim, they're Islam.
Okay.
And what if you have a Christian? Do you
okay.
think that he should be deported back or sent back to his country if he's a Christian
no.
and he escaped
no.
persecution?
No.
Do you believe that we should send him back there?
No.
Knowing what's going to happen to him?
No.
Why just can't be a straight out, no, we can't police. You have to be open-minded.
Okay, but see, I don't understand how you could say it's the same thing. Okay, you, Black Reformers, I'm addressing Black Reformers, because you said that we need to stop policing other countries. This is somebody who ran here, ran away, or managed to come here, get here, however he got here. Okay?
I didn't say
it's like, if they send me back, they're going to kill me because they know I'm Christian. I'm not Muslim. I'm not Islam.
I didn't say deport them.
Well, what should we do?
I just said don't go into that country and try to stop it.
But that country came to us. That's the same thing we're talking about as far as
that's
the African and as far as the it's like the country came to us. The lady was in the United States. She was going to get deported. So it wasn't like we seen this and we jumped
and
in. No,
she
was on American soil.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. She was on American
asylum.
Soil. Right.
Okay. I'm not talking about those situations. What I'm talking about is where we go sticking our nose into
but we're not there yet. That's what I was saying. We didn't get into the going over there. We're talking about people that have come here and that have asked for, please don't send me back. Because
no.
this is what they're going to do to me if I go back.
Once they come over here, they're free to do what they please. But, no.
They're not free to do what they please, not if they don't belong here. We're talking that they escape. Okay, they escaped however they got out. I don't know how they got out, but they entered this country not in an illegal fashion because they were running.
Okay.
And what Crush was saying was that the lady, they were going to deport her because she was not here legally. They were going to deport her considering the fact of what they were going to do to her when
she
got back over there.
Once she proves that she is over here because they would kill her otherwise, or they would mess with her otherwise, you know. Once she proves that, that's fine. You know, she.
Okay,
but
what I'm saying is, okay. Let me ask this, Black Reporter. Young lady comes over here, and she tells us, just saying us as America, she tells us, listen, I need protection. They do humane things over in my country. Please don't send me back. Blah blah. This is what they do, and America proves that. By going and investigating. So we done sent the op team over there back to us their findings. Now, as us knowing this, and this lady's still here, and we know it's true, now we done got the proof and we know it's true, do we go back over there and help that country? Or
no.
help other women in there? Okay, there we go.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, that's what he means. Well, now we got that cleared up. Let's move on.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because
let's move on,
you know, wars have been started for less.
Look, you just can't leave it alone, right? Just can't leave it alone.
I'm
just
I'm
had to add something
point.
To it. Now you want to confuse us again. Go ahead, Black Reporter.
Wars have been started for less. Why is he doing Vietnam for so long? You know?
Okay.
So.
Anyway, okay, what did you just say? Washington starts what?
No, wars have been started for less.
Wars have been started for less.
Started for less. Okay.
Wars have been started for less.
Now, wars have been started for less than that. That's what he's trying to say.
Okay.
Moving right along.
Okay. Pretty much.
Wars have been started for, like, Helen of Troy. That was nothing. She's more beautiful. Wars have been started for stupid things like that. What he's saying is for less than what he's saying. This is what he's saying.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, move right along. Okay, now back to foreign policy. Now we're going to go into actual events. Okay? A lot of you are probably, I don't know if you've seen it or you've heard about the whole Coney 2012 campaign,
mm-hmm.
where they're trying to go into, don't get me wrong, I don't want to say the wrong country. Black Reporter, are you familiar with the story?
I could have sworn it was the Sudan.
It's not the Sudan. It's Uganda.
Uganda.
They want to go into the country of Uganda and rescue, well, not necessarily rescue, but capture somebody who they believe is committing unspeakable acts against children and the people of Uganda. Okay, and it was a like 20-something minute video where that was going around and people wanted you to watch it. And at first I was like, oh, I don't have time to watch no 20-minute video. But as I started watching it, I ended up watching the whole thing because it really draws you in. And I don't know if it's credible or not. I don't know. So do not quote me on this and saying this is what's actually going on. I don't know. I haven't done any research into it. But this gentleman, I forget his name, well, he was in the news a little bit earlier. He was saying that there's a man over there named Joseph Kony who is going around, excuse me, and he is kidnapping children in the middle of the night. He is, like, I guess, doing home invasions, running into their homes.
Yep.
He gets the children to kill the parents. He tells the children, puts a gun in their hand and makes them kill their own parents. And then he takes these children for his army.
The
he
boys
has an
are,
army of children.
Are soldiers and the girls.
Yeah, an army of soldiers, children. The boys, he takes them, he puts guns in their hands. The girls, he takes them as sex slaves and puts them in, and they're sex slaves for not only him, but for the whole army to do with whatever they want to do. These victims are as young as 8 to 10 years old. That's how young these victims are. And at this point, nobody's been able to find him. They haven't been able to go in there and get him, or this is what they say. This is what the United States is saying. Okay, that it really isn't their job to go in there to do anything. So the United States didn't do anything for a long time. This man has been doing this for practically over 10 years. Finally, it got some kind of attention from the government down there. The government down there can't seem to find him. They, with their resources, they have no idea how to track, hunt, to police, that type of situation, okay, because this guy, Rash, has a virtual army. He just made this army up of his own. This is his own army. So they don't know how to go in there and seize this guy and get him out of there safely without risking all of their soldiers because they were not trained for this. So the story got a lot of outcry here in the United States. So last year, in November of 2011, that Obama, President Obama, signed he signed some order to have soldiers dispatched over in the area. But these soldiers were not to go get Joseph Kony. These soldiers were to train their soldiers as to how to seek and rescue and destroy and do all this other stuff so that they can arm themselves. I guess, you know, Obama has a very good point by saying, you know, you can teach a man to fish. You know, instead of just, you know, handing them fish, teach them how to fish. So they went over there teaching them how to go about using these, you know, tactics and how to track and how to do this and how to do that. But now, apparently, that order is only good until, I think, it's August of this year. After August of this year, if the United States doesn't find any reason to keep those people there, or this, they feel that there's no momentum for this to go on, they're going to bring the soldiers out of there and then say, okay, Uganda has been nice. We're out of here. So my question to you, people who are listening, if you want to call in, 805-830-8328, street, blah, 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 blah. Got tongue tied. If you want to call in, 805-830-8320. If you want to call in and chime in on this topic, or if you want to come into our chat room, it's live and open. You can come into the chat room, leave your comments, your concerns, your questions, and we'll take them up. But let me go now to Black Reporter. Based on what I just told you or what you know about the whole Cody 2012 thing, do you think that President Obama was correct in signing this? Because they're just going on basically what this one man went down there and saw. This one white gentleman, I'll say it, went down there, saw this going on, talked to the kids, talked to one boy in general he befriended, and this is how he decided he wanted to help this boy and help the other kids down there. They call them the invisible children. That's what they call them because, you know, this is happening to these kids and no one seems to be either caring or doing anything. So, Black Reporter, what do you think about the whole movement, if you've heard anything about the movement, and do you think that Obama should have did more than what he did, or did he do just enough? What do you think about that?
He's doing just enough. I don't want this to be another war. Because I know for a time there, we were on the verge of going to the Sudan for a war or somewhere in deep, dark Africa, you know, and we don't need to be there. We don't need to be there. That's just my personal. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Has it disappeared or have we just noticed other things more recently, like something on the local scene?
I don't get what you mean.
Well, something that's happening on the East Coast, that's what I'm saying. I mean, has it disappeared? I mean, I don't see as much of the news lately as it had been recently.
With the whole movement, the Cody movement?
Yeah.
Well, you heard what happened to the gentleman. Apparently, he had a nervous breakdown.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, apparently, the gentleman, the whole one that started the movement, the head of the whole thing, after that whole thing broke, it started gaining some momentum. Matter of fact, April 12th, that's the date that's stuck in my head. Crush, now I remember what that date is. Apparently, that's the blackout date. Okay. I remember what that date is. Okay. Apparently on April 12th or April 13th, that whole movement is going to have like a blackout day. And what that means is in the middle of the night, they're going to paper the streets, they're going to paper everything all over the place with this man's face to gain some momentum for this whole movement, okay? They feel that if you make him famous, if you make him a celebrity, then, you know, more people will see what he's done, see what he's doing. And it'll shed more light on the subject of what exactly he's doing to these children. So, this is what they're going to do. And apparently they've enlisted a lot of celebrities. They've targeted Oprah. They've targeted Rihanna. They've targeted Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore. They've targeted a whole bunch of people, celebrities, to join onto this bandwagon to, you know, spread the word about this guy. So now it seems like it's kind of lost its momentum because apparently he was caught walking down the streets of L.A. He was butt naked and he was talking to himself. And
he was detained for public masturbation and stuff.
Yeah, he was masturbating in public. And when they took him away, they said that he was he was suffering from exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I just don't buy that. That's not what I think happened to this gentleman.
He was thought of.
I really don't.
They had to silence him.
Do you know where
yeah,
I was?
He was yelling. He was obstructing traffic.
I think that this man is something deeper going on here. I think that this man got wind. I'm sorry. This man was messing around with somebody from Africa. Okay, I don't want to have to, you know, fuck it, this is my show. I'm going there. This man was messing around with somebody from Africa, okay, the motherland, okay? We have a lot of cultural things. I don't know what part of Africa I come from. I don't know if my tribe hated Crusher's tribe, or maybe my tribe was supposed to, I don't know, enslave Black Reporters' tribe. I don't know anything about what tribe I'm from. You don't know anything about what tribe you're from. You know, none of us
nope.
do. So we don't know. These different tribes had different types of cultures and magics and things like that of that nature. Because come on now, when you think about it, Africans existed how many years in the jungles, how many years without doctors, no disease, no anything. We just persevered for generations. So we had to have something. I doubt that nobody there got sick. There was something to make them well from when they got sick. There are certain traditions that we carry on to this day as African Americans or people from the motherland that we carry on to this day that may not make sense to somebody else, but we find that it works.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It may seem like, you know, like say you're sick and your mother comes in. Exactly. She pulls out some kind of wriggly ginger root out the cabinet, something that looked like spider legs or something, and start throwing it in your tea and boiling it. Next thing you know, you wake up the next morning feeling like $1 million.
Yep.
And I believe that we have certain things that we use. It. Even if you go in your grocery store, there's a certain aisle. My mother calls it the potion aisle. If you go to have certain aisles in the grocery store, you ever see like little remedies, like these little funny bottles, or you'll see like something with some language that you don't even understand on it. And, you know, you got all different types of
roof or something like that.
Yeah, stuff like that that you don't really necessarily
like
recognize.
Oil.
Yeah, like castor oil and there's a lot of things that you're like, what is that? And only your mother could point out what this is, or she always had an old bottle of something sitting there. I remember they had some kind of 666 tablets or something.
And
I'm thinking, what the heck
is this? Dr. Fishner's is not among those.
You know? So I feel like, go back to what we were talking about with Cody. We've always had different types of magics and different types of remedies and stuff like that. And I do believe that somebody slipped this man something. I'm sorry. Nothing is just going to make you just act bizarre like that. Either somebody put some type of
voodoo, dare you say it?
Dare I say it? You know, because, come on, listen, he messed with somebody from Uganda.
What?
That Uganda is famous for voodoo.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, this man who ain't never had a problem in the world, show him on the video, he a doting father. He's walking around butt naked, masturbating in the street, talking to himself.
Acting a fool. I just watched the video. Acting
you
a
saw the video of him acting a fool, and he's cussing.
Wait. Time out.
Yeah.
Is he black?
He was white.
The guy is white. What are you talking about? It's a guy black.
The guy is white who's going after this Ugandan general.
His name is His name is Jason Russell, and he is the co-founder of the group Invisible Children, the advocacy group behind the Kony 2012 viral video. Now, what happened is he has not been charged, and he has no charges pending, but he was detained, and he was sent for evaluation because, yeah, like she said, he pretty much had a nervous breakdown. Like, he really is on the corner of a block, beating on the ground, touching himself, yelling and carrying on.
Butt naked,
not no shirt, not no drawers, butt ass naked. This man is really going.
Now, what could possibly make a rational
crush.
Now? This man ain't never had no history of this nonsense.
I know where that Justin comment came from.
What?
I mean, he's walking down
the
street.
I know where that Justin comment came from.
What Justin comment?
You slipped and said Justin, and I know where that came from.
Where did it come from?
Y'all don't remember that a couple of years ago, supposedly Justin Timberlake? Allegedly?
No.
Allegedly what?
Was caught
masturbating. I don't know what you're talking about.
Justin Timberlake was caught masturbating? Who cares if he was? We're talking about this guy with Cody.
I was just saying. Now, I mean, it isn't that.
Listen, we are talking about fruit,
That's not what happened. I just really did just make a mistake. Yeah, it was nothing behind it. I really did just make a mistake here. But, Brick, you got company.
I've got company. Okay. So, oh, dear, let me see who we have here. Oh, we do have some company here. We have a 917 on the line. Let's bring on 917. Hello, 917. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. This is your boy, Stevie B.
It's Stevie B.
Hello, Stevie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I see you holding 614. We're going to be with you in just a minute, okay? We just need to take care of some things first. And, you know, I can't go there with you right yet, 614, okay? But I see you, okay? In a minute. All right.
What's up,
Stevie? I see Brick the guy got an upgrade.
What do you mean I got an upgrade? What are you
talking? Before you were having Crush handling it all.
Well, okay, no, I just got my computer fixed. Crush was handling it. We're not even going to go there and get you. Don't have to turn your mic
off.
All right.
Oh,
all right, so Stevie B, have you been listening to what we've been saying today about foreign policy?
I just got in when you were talking about the guy that started the, well, y'all call it Phony 2012. I call it Phony 2012.
Okay, so you along with the other people think that it's not real.
Yeah,
a lot of other people
real,
think that
it's
just a
part. No, it's not real, but when you do the history and the research on it, now the guy that they're talking about, yeah, he's real. Yeah, he committed atrocity and crimes against his people, but he's been out of the area since 9 years. He moved on somewhere else across another border. He's been in that area since 9 years. And, you know, you're right. With the guy in the street acting up, somebody put something on him, somebody put some type of rule. You know, I agree with you in certain points in there and there, but, you know, and then I disagree with you. Like, a lot of them traditions and customs came from the motherland, but, you know, you got to find out who's our true motherland is, you know, because according to history and descriptions, our motherland is not Africa. Our motherland, which is Jerusalem. And that's quoted from history and descriptions right there to let us know where we really came from. But, yeah, somebody did something to him. He went illogically. He's in the street buckwilding and acting bizarre and weird. You know, you got to watch where you're going. You're going to these countries and with people who could bring out these roots and things. Yeah, you got to watch what you intake. He just took something.
Yeah, I do believe he did.
I read on your tonight topic, you know, so America stopped, you know, getting into everybody's situation and problem, but you got to understand, too, they should, but we live in a country that's modeled after the Roman Empire. So same thing with the Romans did, this country do. This Roman was the superpower. Rome went to every known land and conquered and put a base there and decided they wanted to govern over the known world. Same thing this country do. This country called itself a superpower. This country goes to everybody's land. This country put an army base there and try to govern over everybody. Think they're the world police. Nobody elected y'all to be the world police. See? And then see, and when as though being the world police, they pull in their little allies. So as soon as America went to war, who's with them? Great Britain, France, you know, the usual suspect. And it's sad because we got a lot of these mothers from here in this land and overseas, Great Britain and France, that lost a lot of their sons and daughters for nothing. For nothing. Why? Because they want to conquer, govern, and police the world, and rob the world from its natural resources. It's the same thing why we got the situation going on in Libya, and this is now why they want to step up with Syria. Before, they didn't want to touch Syria because Syria's main allies was Saudi Arabia. That's where most of majority of our oil come from. But now the situation is getting heavy. Now they want to do something with Syria, and they know they can go into Syria and take over their natural resources of oil. that area of the Coney 2012 have a natural resources of minerals and earth, of different type of precious metals. They could take over.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you watch C-SPAN and you watch the new bills and acts they done passed, they done made it to a point now, before you had to go to Congress to get a declaration of war. Now they made it to a point, the president don't need to go to Congress no more. He could decorate war whenever he feel like it.
Yep.
As long as he got the backing of a UN council. See, before you had to get permission. Now they say there's no more permission. If I feel like I'm going to go here to go to war, then I know this is for we could take over and bring in corporate companies and mine these areas out, which they've been doing in Africa for years. And that's still with the Britons. The Britons been mining Africa out for years. Now America jumping more into it. We can do it. And you have no rights. Because with all these bills saying we have basically taking away every First Amendment right, every freedom of speech, freedom to protest, the freedom of everything away from us, especially the new Defense Act, that they feel like we can label you as a threat and we don't have to give you corpus holius or due processes. We can detain you indefinitely, send you to another country indefinitely without you seeing a judge. So this,
okay.
Like I said, we're living in a land that's modeling after the old Roman Empire.
Mm. Okay, we asked earlier a question about asylum. I guess you weren't listening then. Do you feel that the United States should offer asylum to people who are seeking refuge from other countries? Or do you think that we should send them back because it's none of our business?
Well, you know, the way I feel about that, America's, yeah, they should give people asylum that's rough from other countries. And I have mixed feelings because as us being in this land in America, you know, half of the time they don't even treat us as Americans. Only time they do is when they want us to fight for them. But if other people want to come here and they want it from somewhere and a tragedy going on in their homeland, okay, give them asylum. They, you know, saying that, which is all right, which is part of human compassion over a person. Help them, but at the same way, where's our help? And you had us in this land for a long time. Welcome to our compassion. Welcome
okay.
to what you. You know, it's just a catch 22 feelings I have on that.
Okay. Let me bring in 614. I've kept him holding as long as I can.
Oh.
Good evening, 614. Good evening, 614.
You'll pay for that one.
The comment on that guy was running naked. I'm not trying to make a comical joke out of this, but it would have been a lot better if it would have been crushed. They would have given a OG medicine to.
Hey, here we go.
No, they had to give that guy something.
Hey, here
man.
We go.
They had to. And no way a white man is going to run around like that if somebody didn't put something in him.
How you know Crush ain't do that? He did that just this Saturday. You missed it.
Knowing Crush, man, she'd probably make out with the guy and not love him to death and then throw him out the window. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, anybody who was on Facebook about that girl, the hell was it? She went to her friend's apartment, had some about somebody falling out the window and shit.
Yeah,
okay.
I know what you're about. In the bar.
Yeah.
That's
going to be on another show. You can talk about that actually tomorrow, John.
But the thing about bringing people
about
over here if they want to get away from this.
Okay, we're talking about people coming from this. How do you feel about that, John?
People coming from other countries. The only thing I can say is it's all right, but don't be two-faced. You know, like there's a lot of black people over here that people befriend. But yet, you want to bring other people to this country, do it both ways, man. You can't have your ice cream and eat it, too. That's
okay.
Basically.
But what does that mean? So you're
basically
saying that
if you want to bring people over from a foreign country, take care of the people you got over here. Just don't use them when you need something.
Well, see, that's one of the main problems, the main issues a lot of people have.
Yeah.
When people come here, if you're granted asylum, you're entitled to basically a lot more than someone who is born here sometimes. Once
yeah.
you get granted asylum, you know, it's like doors open for you. You get to have...
But you know, some I hate to go back in time. That's what they said to the American Indians, and look what the fuck they did to them.
Okay, this is true.
So, yeah.
True. But when you're talking about asylum now, you have asylum from very different countries, and people come over, and they, unfortunately, they're entitled to... Well, I'm not going to say unfortunately. It's unfortunate that the ones that were here already...
Yeah.
Okay, that are not entitled to get things that someone from another country is, and I think
that
that's really
sad.
Yeah,
because I don't know if a lot of people know this. It's I'm not ragging on them, but it's the way the government's got it set up now. Certain people, if they do come over from other countries, I know my friend was telling me. I don't know if it's true. Maybe somebody can look it up. But some the Arab people like coming over here because if they do, nine times out of ten, they're going to get a party star, which else is. No, but they can work tax-free for 7 years. I don't remember when I was a kid,
actually,
black people or white people having access like that.
Wrong, but you actually tell them the truth there. When most nations come over there, Asians, when they get to come to this country, they have a program already set up for them.
Yeah,
to be tax-free, to get businesses. So this is why when you look in our community, we have every other nation that can open up a business in our community and make money off of us, set for us. Black and Latinos is having it the hardest now. Because before, you had Latinos had business. Now it's not even like that no more.
You live in you're in New York along with me, so I agree with you. I do see that, you know, the bodegas are kind of going the way of the Yemen now for some reason. I'm noticing that. But
sure, why don't we start our own party store, man? Crush and Brooks Party Store.
Okay.
No,
all
baby.
Right.
We'll synthesize your order here.
We're coming up almost on 9 o'clock. We're at 8:52, almost the halfway mark. At Rick's house, we're talking foreign policy. On the phone, we have the First Lady of Phone Fantasy Radio. We have Crush. We
yeah.
have the second in command from Phone Fantasy Radio Adult Zone, Mr. Black Reporter. We
he is
also
not the second in command. He is not the second in command.
Second in command.
Where did you get that from?
Wait, what am I?
I'm not the second in command.
You're the Black Reporter.
Okay.
What are you? You're the butler for Crush.
Do you really want to have this conversation on air?
No, you don't. We have...
Now, let's have it. Come on, baby. We want to hear the...
We have Mr. TVB from New York. We have Lady C from... where she comes? In Louisiana.
Louisiana. Lady C, what is your thought
back
on
room,
it? You've been quiet.
Room.
You've been quiet back
yeah,
there.
She's at the hospital, remember?
I know, but she's still...
Oh, is she all right? God, I hope she gets well.
Okay,
her some love and kisses.
Did I name everybody? Okay, we have everybody on the phone just acting stupid now laughing.
And they got Martha in the chat room.
Well,
we
I wish
got
I could come through the phone and eat some chocolate
room.
Ice cream.
We got
good
Barbara
eating, Barbara.
We got Marva in the chat room.
Her
tea, and we got Rush.
Hi, I didn't come to see Marva. I have a sore throat. Marva's having her
tea. And we have Rush on a check-in. However, he can't tune in. He's out and about. But
yes,
he did send love.
Damn, I wish
yes,
I could come
did.
Through the phone, man. I need some chocolate ice cream.
Okay.
Oh.
One more time. One more here. Yeah? One more. That's all I'm going to say.
100%.
We're going to take a little musical break here so everybody can, you know, go get wet their whistle and wet their throats. We're going to talk
no,
a little bit more about foreign policy when we're coming back. This time we're going to get into... a little deeper into it, like we're going to talk about the United States involving our U.S. troops into foreign affairs and foreign policies, how you feel about that, and whether you think that some of the wars that we fought over the years, which weren't always in our favor, if maybe we should have just, you know, kind of backed up a little bit and, you know, minded our business on some of it. So...
I'm going to wish you all a good night because I have to be somewhere early in the morning. But Folks, you have yourselves a good night, and I will see you tomorrow night on the Adult Zone.
Thank you for tuning in, Black Reporter. You have a good evening, Black Reporter. Okay, everybody else, we are going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk more about why do I hear myself? Something duplicating. But anyway, we're going to talk more about foreign policy. Okay, we'll be back in just about 5. Well, we're going to cut that shorter than that. Be back in about 5 minutes. This is Brick's House.
Love that can bring peace in. So won't you try, 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 try. wake up and start to. People have to wrong face their mind too. So won't you try just to love. I know that once you begin, you won't regret you. The ultimate life satisfaction. So won't you try that love. You know that there's no excuse for no one not to. You'll be grateful you live inside you. So won't you try that love. I know that, but try to think on the reason to. The key to inner satisfaction. So won't you try that
song. Jeez. I thought that song would never end. Welcome back. You are listening to the sounds coming from my house, Brick's house. My name is Brick. It is now at the top of the hour, 9:03. And we are discussing foreign policy and the United States never-ending need to get involved in other countries' situations. And we got into a little discussion about, you know, the whole Coney 2012 thing, just to recap a little bit to see, you know, where everyone stood on the Coney 2012. And we also talked about asylum in the United States, if we believe it's necessary, yes or no. I am joined by the lovely Lady La Crush. Oh, somebody crying. Poor baby. And we're also joined by, anybody. But I see that we're still joined by Mr. Stevie B. You see, you still there, Stevie B?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Everybody just like dipped out. God, Black Reporter took everybody with her, huh?
Mm-hmm. Then we got Marva and Tati.
Marva and Tati. Since he's not here, Marva, I'll try to speak Lori Kim, okay? I heard my mouth talking like that, seriously. interested in talking about foreign policy. Now, I'm going to put a different spin on this. You know, we can get all sagitty here and talk about how, yes, well, I believe, you know, the United States is a superpower and blah, 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 crush. But let's just kick this shit like we was, you know, sitting in your crib, you know, just talking about shit. How do you feel about the United States need to just get involved in everything that's going on outside of the United States?
Stevie B, you got that.
That's why Stevie B got to get that.
All right. Put it like this. It goes a lot of ways. It goes to the point that, hey, prophecy need to be fulfilled. It goes to the point that if you watch it, United States create a situation to say, oh, we got to go over here. Because when we went to Afghanistan and Iraq, that was off a situation that they put the blame of 9/11 on. You know, they said the guy that bombed 9/11 is in Afghanistan, but you went across the other side of the country to Iraq to somebody else that don't have nothing to do with Afghanistan. Then you suddenly have Janice there, but come to find out the so-called guy that bought 9/11 was in Pakistan next door. But you still have Janice there. You still didn't move Ali yet. Then a situation with Libya came over for humanitarian reason. So we got to go over there and help them. But like I said, it still falls back to the same model and government of the same way as the Roman Empire was. They wanted to be the governor of the world, and they was the superpower. And America do the same thing. They want to govern the world. They want to police the world. They want to be the superpower. But they want to have control of everything. Because if you look at these regions, that's where all the natural resources is at. Oil, gold, copper, all types of precious metal.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of things, America could be better off if they mind their business. But a lot of prophecies and things that was foretold for them to fulfill. So for a lot of things to happen, prophecy has to be fulfilled. So there's different ways you can look at it.
Okay. Okay, well, what about you, Crush? How do you feel?
I agree in a way, but I think that, you know, what the United States is doing as far as, you know, jumping the broom, so to speak, and jumping into these foreign affairs is they feel like, well, the United States feel like we're the mediators. And Captain Save-A-Ho syndrome. Like, all the way around, Captain Save-A-Ho syndrome. It's like Captain Save-A-Ho. Like you said, we sitting here, and if I was sitting in front of you, I would just say that. We got Captain Save-A-Ho syndrome. That's what we got. And you know, not all hoes need to be saved. just can't do it. That's the only way I can tell you. That's the only way I'm going to break it down to you. Not all hoes need to be saved. You know, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. All that applies.
I agree with you.
All that applies to the U.S. of A. U.S. of A. We pimping and training.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to be totally honest with you. Like
and
I said,
the country's all hoes.
And we can say our shit. We just going to just say it cut and dry. This is my whole thing, my take on it. Okay? Mm-hmm. We get caught up in this, the eagle and the slow waving flag and shit and America. We get caught up in that shit right there. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it looks good. Yeah, we have to go over there and kick ass. Who's mm-hmm. going over there and kicking ass, Crush? My brothers, your cousins, mm-hmm. our children are going over there kicking ass. And I'm tired
right.
of
mm-hmm.
a bunch of big, fat, stuffy,
mm-hmm.
white
mm-hmm.
folks, I'll be
mm-hmm.
totally honest, who are old and broken down and got big old pot bellies sitting up there calling all the shots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And pointing our
mm-hmm.
kids, okay, well, let's take a fight with these people. Let's send our boys over there. Let's send our boys over there. You know? My son is going to be 18 years old this year, and he has to register for selective service for this country, which means, God forbid, there is a draft. My son could be drafted. And I tell you this, and I say it, and you get me on the air live. I will send his ass to Canada first before I let him fight in any war.
That old saying that if it, God forbid, if it was a draft, you're going to Canada, but you still went to an ally of America that all of them go fight. Canada, Britain, and America. Every time a war goes down, these are the three.
When last time
that
Canada been in a fight with somebody?
But you know,
Canada
right. But
now.
You got to look
Canada
at it like this, though. You got to look at it like this, though. You know, at the same time, they are allies. They try to keep their distance in our shit, too. You know, they play their shit from the field. They on the outside looking in. If we going in, if you look at the whole Iraq thing and stuff like that, they stay as far as where they can before
well,
they have to. When all else is.
Whenever we listen to the news and they say American boys with NATO troops or our troops got killed,
Technically, their family structure is way different And you know, it's not even different, but it seems like it's more intact than ours. You know, they feel some type of way. Like they cherish, they really do believe in the agreement of marriage, the arrangements of marriages, and they take that stuff, you know, to the T. As we, you know, we're divorced every 5 seconds, we dating this one, we got single this one, and, you know, I'm a single lady and all the other stuff. So, I mean, that sounds like a show topic to me. That's the same, Brit.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's because you're like, I'm glad I have got the experience of traveling, so going to other places and other countries and stuff, they have a more family value orientation in the countries. Say what you can say about them, they mistreat the women in this, but they have a family-oriented value system. And then they don't allow a lot of certain things in their society that we allow here in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, you have more of a family structure. It's not high rate of divorce that we have out here. We don't have that high rate of divorce. We don't have that. They don't have that high rate of single-parent households. And in other countries where America really gets on them about their system and the way they treat this, but they always have two structures in the household. You have a mother and a father. The kids is always well-maintained, taken care of. Certain Muslim countries, you have the mother and the father that both goes out to work, but things in the household is taken care and done together than here in America.
Mm-hmm. And Marva said, what if the father is pushing 85? What would they do or say then? Cannot make kids too old to fight for the country. And she said, everybody, and she said a truthful sentence here. Everybody knows about America except for America. Shaking my head. I agree with you. I definitely agree with you.
That is true.
Welcome to LGZ. LGZ just jumped into the chat room. This is why I respect a lot of different countries, because they stay traditional, do not change for nothing. You know, I agree with you on that, Marva. You know, we could take a little from them as well. You know, so
yeah,
we can learn a lot from them. And, I mean, especially as far. But you know, the thing that's killing me is that we have a lot of people that immigrate from these other countries here, and then they get corrupted, so to speak, of the Western, of what goes on here, and they lose that tradition that they used to practice in their country. You know, like instead of them coming here and teaching us these things or letting us know about these things, they get kind of lost in the, you know, melting pot. You know, so
they get
what bothers me, Crush. What really makes me angry and upset with the whole debate regarding foreign policy is the fact that what really bothers me is the fact that these people come here, okay, and they don't come here seeking a better life. They come here to, you know, destroy. They come here to molest our children. They come here and do things that in their country they would get their arms and limbs cut off for. They come here and do it. Why? Because here they know that, oh, okay, if I get caught molesting a child, then what am I have to do? Jail time? I got cable TV. I got food to eat. I got a warm bed. I ain't out in the rain. Cool. But if they did that stuff back where they were from and they got caught doing it, they would be
delivered
in the
street. Everything. Right.
You know,
their capital punishment is way different than
true,
too. That's true, too.
And then our justice system is so corrupted and messed up here. They know that if they get caught molesting a child, it's going to take 2-3 years before the trial even starts. So I get the one free on bail or whatever.
Exactly.
Also,
so they get to eat off the cup off the United States. They get to eat off of us and watch all the free cable. I got to pay for my damn cable, but they get all the channels free.
Get their bachelor's degrees.
There's another catch 22 to that asylum. Some of them claim asylum, and it's so bad in their country. Come here, they get their job, they stack their money, but what they do, they send their money back home. Because there's a vicious time, they're going back home and stay back home because that currency change done built up over there.
Right,
and
they're made
them
rich.
So much bread.
Yeah.
Live comfortably back where they come from. See, and then you see that some of that comes over here and get Americanized and corrupt. And they turn into a Christian, And, you know, but they still have that idea of, when I go back home, I can't do that. So they know how to turn that switch back off.
But, you know, the one thing about these countries, you know, one thing about these other countries is that they are trained to do things like that, to switch it on and switch it off. They're trained from when they were babies to be able to do that. So it's nothing to them. You know, they were trained to blend in. You know, like some of the stuff that you see on TV, some of that stuff is really true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of the stuff that they learned, we taught them. A lot of stuff that they're doing, we taught them. They came here, they got their education, we sent them to airplane school, we sent them to, you know, build this and do this, and then, like you said, they take that knowledge back, and then they're forced to be reckoned with when they get to their own country or they get back to their own
country. Yeah, they are.
So, you know, we're just to blame for a lot of stuff. Good grief.
Because if you look at it, a lot of these people that this country has targeted as terrorists, when you check their background and they went to college, where did they go to college at? Here in the United States.
A group of them went to college here in the United States
when they went back home. And, you know, I want to say we changed them because, you know, we don't own these universities. We don't school them. We don't do that. This nation, they're the one that schooled them, because what they do to us is they keep us in our neighborhoods in these public schools, and the public schools do nothing but dumb the kids down. You know, America dumbed down everything. Everything on TV is dumbed down. They dumbing the whole nation down. And then you wonder why these other nations is a force to reckon this and is steamrolling over us. You wonder why, if you look at the economy of China, is starting to be a force to reckon and rolling over America, because a lot of them came to school here and went back home.
Not even that. You got to look at you talking about China. That's another whole can of whoop ass because that's family. That's tradition right there.
And first of all, China. Let me tell you, you know why China is a force to be reckoned with? Because China don't play that shit. Okay. Remember that guy went over to China? He got caned. They don't play that shit from nobody.
Over here, the teachers teach.
Here, the teachers are trying to have sex with the students. That is why the school system is forced to dumb the kids down.
The school system is not to choke the challenge the kid. Even when I went to school, I didn't feel a challenge. What they do is they're dumbing them down. And every year, and every generation, the kids is getting more dumbed down. I watch my daughter come home from school, my son come to see the homework. The homework is dumbed down even slower.
But not even so. You got to also look at this too. Across seas, or you know, in these other places, especially China, learning don't just start and stop at school.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? When they come home, these people have a structure. The parents are involved. The parents are telling them, look, there's no TV. You get an hour of TV. The rest is work. Read a book. You know, do this, do that. They always learning something. They teach them independent living skills.
So even if you feel like the school system
is dumbed down, you also got to look at the family structure.
It started from the beginning,
and it's working its way up. Just because the school is fucked up don't mean the home has to be fucked up.
Yeah,
unfortunately, in America, we're so lax that we've lost a lot of family values and family traditions.
And China is also a country that this country, you know, if you say this word in this country, it's so taboo. You know, they call Obama a socialist, and he tried to make sure he cleans families to make sure he looks. That is a socialist country that we all look out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the countries that prosper between Canada, so-called, you know, even Great Britain and France, they have a social structure. The social structure is the medical system.
Mm-hmm.
China's post structure is socialized.
Right.
It's all for blood and one football.
Right. So even if there is no dad, somebody in the family is stepping up. somebody done stepped in, the grandfather done stepped in, the uncle done stepped in, right, his best friend done stepped in. There is a, even if the fathers don't stay around, there is a, there is somebody that stepped
in. But that
don't
exist
here. The aunt moves in, the aunt moves from Huxley. Right.
Not only amongst our own people, we don't have that structure. Nobody steps in and nobody takes.
Right. Right.
If it don't begin at birth, then you know it begins at birth in China. If you notice, and if you really notice, Chinese babies don't cry. You ain't never seen a Chinese kid fall out in the street on their parents, have you?
No,
they don't cry.
And if one actually kept the door, he knew his ass is going to be sore in that street.
They don't cry. They don't cry.
If one can't even attempt to do it, and we make that ass sore in the street for the people, we got ATS, BCW, NYPD, this one in your face.
But you can't sit up there and let a child do whatever the hell they want to do until they're 82 years old and then try to put a rein on them. It starts at birth. It starts from the minute you decide that, okay, I'm going to get up and hold this child. I done held her all day. She's crying. I'm going to pick her back up. It starts then.
I was just on the news this morning, right? It's a section of Brooklyn, Greenpoint. The parents in the area is talking about they want to ban the ICs and the ice cream trucks from coming through their neighborhood. Why? Oh, because when the kids come through, they can't always buy their kids stuff. You know what parents is? Those are parents that sit there and be like, oh, little Billy and little Tommy be in the street. And they, no, Billy, don't do that, Billy. Okay, Billy, we're going to get ice cream. So don't blame the ice cream trucks and the ice cream carts coming through the neighborhood. Learn how to tell your child no. Learn how to let your child learn that everything he sees, he can't have.
And that is something we definitely know. We know about that in our neighborhood. Am I gonna have what? What? You better not even look. She gave her a face. You better not even look at me with that. What?
That is definitely true.
We know better. We definitely know better.
There's so many. We can touch on every last problem that bring this thing down. But the solution is always right there. But the solution never get installed because somebody that try to install it is always going to be 10 times more people that's going to come against it. And that's the tyrant part.
That's crazy. But, I never noticed that. But now thinking about it, I never really seen an Asian kid get out of pocket.
They don't do it. You know, but they won't be jumping up and down. They'll just look at the kid like, they got another kid. Okay. Come on, Lingling. And she walked right behind him, all proper.
The Asian culture, they're like us, too. They believe in chastising the child.
Right. Other parents and stuff like that, too. You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, it's so true that I'm an anime watcher. Okay, I started getting into anime and stuff, and I noticed. I'm hearing myself, but that's how it's done. Ooh, somebody's phone is echoing. I'm an avid anime watcher, and you know I understand that it's fiction, it's cartoons, it's made up, but a lot of that stuff is actually based on, you know, what actually happens in those areas, and even in the anime, you know, for you to relate to it, even in regular cartoons, for you to relate to it, you gotta be able to, you know, some of yourself transforms into that art, you know, as far as what I believe. That's why I love cartoons. But anyway. And but anyway, and I'm just saying, like, and even if you look at the movies and stuff like that, the kids are, you know, they don't get beaten. They get, like, brutal punishments. Like, you got to kneel in rice and hold a book over your head type shit. And don't let it drop. You know, like, they get brutal punishment as kids.
Okay, but when you think about it, how many times do they have to talk to their kids, though? They probably just got to tell them one time.
Right.
And they remember they need more than rights.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That happened to me though. I had to kneel down and he was from Africa. He was from Nigeria. Let me tell you, he was from Nigeria, and that happened to me once, and that was the worst feeling ever, folks. That happened to me. I had to hold two books up in front, and I had to look in a fucking mirror, and I was kneeled down in raw rice. That's right. It was raw rice. I was kneeled down into it. I bet you I never talked back to that man again, though.
That was a teacher?
No. That wasn't a teacher. That was actually, you know, my aunt's boyfriend. And he said something to me, and I got smart. Like, I ain't got to listen to you. Boy, listen, that man threw me down a pile of rice so quick. I gave that man more respect than I gave my aunt, though. I tell you that shit, because that shit was quick.
You touched on the point. And, of course, you touched on the point, too. I see it happens. You know, this happened. I thought it happened a lot in the families. You know, even the families that don't have a mother and father structure, a single parent, you always knew, like, I come from a single parent home. I knew if I got out of line, my mother going to get on me. If my mother ain't around, I knew my aunt was going to get on me, or my other aunt, or my uncle,
right,
or this, or that.
Or it can be a stranger that knows your parents.
Nowadays, these kids get out of line. If the mother is carrying around and then the aunt jumps on them, you can't stop me, my mother and my aunt. They don't listen to the aunt, they don't listen to the uncle, they don't listen to the parents. Like you say, even a friend of your mother would get you. They don't. It goes both ways. You don't touch me, not my mother, or the mother, or you don't touch my child.
But you know what happened? Our kids started carrying guns. And, you know, you say, oh, you're not my mother, next thing you know, or sit your ass down, next thing you know, you know, that person's getting shot. So now we tend to mind our business, you know. And I think that does play a part in it. And I'm so sorry that the conversation went to discipline family instead of U.S. foreign affairs. But the conversation just went to a whole new topic. Brick, what we doing, Brick? What we doing? Shout out to 803 checking us out. Shout out 803. 803 checking us out. If you want to join the conversation, all you have to do is press that number one, and we'll let you on and let you give your two cents then.
Now,
but
I want to explore a new, let's take the foreign policy to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a major problem with the fact that the United States is very, very, we're very helpful. Let us help you. We want to help you. Let us come over here and help you do this. Regardless of what it is for us, we're very helpful. But do you find that nobody wants to help us?
Yeah.
When is the last time someone's helped us?
Well, technically, they do help us.
Who helps us?
You know, we just don't get, don't come directly to us, per se, but they do put their two cents in. They're not gonna jump in and be like, here, Brick. But
no, of course not.
They don't tell you that. But you know,
when you check on the statistics of foreign aid, we send so much foreign aid to the land of Israel, but between Israel and all our allies, I don't see no foreign aid come back to us.
Mm.
You know, see, they don't kick in any foreign aid to us when we have a disaster. Katrina
but at the end of the day, we're the superpowers. I mean, we're the
But do we need that?
Like,
are we the superpower? Because we have loans out there that people haven't even repaid.
We always want to help, but sometimes superpower we need a little handout too.
Yeah, but you gotta look at it. That sounds good. That sounds good, Stevie. But how many times you've helped a friend out, and when the friend got on their feet or got popping, did they actually look back? Honestly.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
It's the same thing.
The same thing applies. Only for the simple fact that you may need help, but you don't look like you need help. And that happens to a lot of us. We may need help. We may have not a dime in our pocket, but if you see us in the street, you would think we were balling. So that's the same thing with them.
But why does it have to be like that though? How would you like it if that happened to you every single day?
That does happen every single day. Like, you can't tell me that. Like, it really do happen every single day.
I don't know why I'm saying it is. Okay, for example, you big, I'm big. I call you like, Crush, what you eating tonight for dinner? Oh, I don't know. Come on, I know you got a whole cabinet full of food. You're like, no, actually, all I have is a can of soup on the shelf. Girl, I know you got food there. Stop playing. I'm coming over to eat.
Exactly.
It's like I'm not even paying you no mind. I'm figuring because you're a big, healthy female that you always going to have food in your house.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, if we continue to sit there and give, and we don't get back, okay, what is that going to do to us? I mean, it's like
But aren't you supposed to give out of the kindness, not your heart, not to expect anything back? Like, isn't that the whole point of doing it? I get what you're saying. I'm just playing devil's advocate. We talk about falling in the fears.
They come to an agreement and a contract that if I help you, you're supposed to help me back.
Right.
Okay. But, Crush, let me paint you a perfect picture of how the U.S. policy goes and how it is. Okay, I go, Crush, give me $20. And you're like, okay, here. I'm like, okay, I got $20 in my pocket. I'm like, hey, what's up, Stevie B? What's going on? Yeah, I just need to borrow $20. Here you go. All right. And you go, Rick, why'd you give Stevie B the $20? Did you lend him $20 2 weeks ago? He ain't paid you that back yet. I know. Crush, give me $20. That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? That's how the government is. And you know do you know who's playing the role of Crush? You know who's playing your role? You, me, Stevie B, all the taxpayers are playing that role. The United States is playing me.
Right.
And Stevie B is playing the foreign country. We keep giving. And the thing about it is that, Chris, it's not even me feeling the hit. It's you. The taxpayers are feeling the hit. They lend money out to everybody, but instead of saying, Stevie B, can I have some of that money back I'm lending you? No, I'm going to just keep going to Crush for it.
It's the working class taxpayers that feel that, because we are taking the hit, not the United States.
We are because we got to raise taxes now.
Right.
Oh, we didn't get all our loan money back. It's time to raise taxes.
Look who they raise taxes on, and look who they sit there and let them get a tax break.
But is it my fault the United States is a chicken shit and don't want to ask for their tax money back? The money that they lent out back? Is it my fault?
That's a problem. But like I said, you tax us poor working class, but the wealthy, you let them niggas rock. Why? Because y'all all friends. Why? When I come out of office, I get a job in your corporation. But see, people got the number. Eight people is the ones that hire these politicians. They the ones that come to us in our communities to lie and pull on the snout to get a vote. So we got to vote, and how y'all were getting a job? That's what people got to remember.
Mm.
The power is within the people.
Do you think so? There's too much under the table for me to actually believe that. There's too much under the table because we do come out. You know what I mean? We do show and prove. We do step up. And when we did, it was a bunch of bullshit. Let's put it that way. You know, it was just a bunch of bullshit. This, and so people are discouraged now. Like, you say that, but I'm not seeing what you're saying.
Yeah,
I came out. I put my two cents in. And people get discouraged. And it's like, okay, I'm not going back to that store no more.
Yeah, see, that comes to a point now. So now the power is supposed to be within the people, and the people come out and show their power, but the things are still the same. So is this thing for real, or is this thing just a scam?
Right.
Is this another new type of Ponzi scheme?
No, the people
right.
have
so
power. We have power.
Out, don't come
okay.
out. Y'all going to do what I want to do.
Right.
Let me tell y'all something. We have power, and the power is in the vote. Okay? When you see these politicians, so don't tell me tell you right now. They on their way out there to your neighborhoods right now. Because let me tell you something, primaries are coming up. And they're going to be standing out there at the train station waiting to check chicken, waiting for you at the store, at church, or wherever you go. What you need to do is you need to not be afraid to ask these people questions. Don't sit there and deal with a smile and them promising you this. You need to question them.
But my concern, my whole thing is, reality is reality, and they actually showed you reality. Voting is not the power when they sit there in front of a whole nation and stole the election away.
Right.
Why we had 2 years? Why we had 8 years of Bush instead of 4 years of Bush and 4 years of Gore?
Right.
They showed you in front of our faces. They're gonna give a damn we come out and vote for. We are putting what we want to put in. Say something.
Right, we're going
to
go what's in favor for us.
Yeah. What's
right now, a new president. Right now, a new president is not in our favor. And, you know, we may want to sit up here and deny it or not believe it, but it was true. Even the media put it out there. Like, it was out there, right? We're not talking. Nobody made it up. You know, we seen it. Outfold and out with our own eyes. Marvin says people do not have the power. That been long gone. This is why a lot of folks, even older folks, they do not vote. That's what Marvin's saying in the chat room. Yes,
every news channel said Gore won. Fox News came out and said Bush won, and everybody else changed their decision.
Guest 8295 is in the chat room, tuned in right now. Thank you for tuning in to Brick's House. 803, thank you for tuning in to Brick House. Lady C, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Lady C, we know you're going through some things over there, but what do you think about everything that's been said? You've been quiet all night. We got to get your 2 cents in.
Okay, I've been listening, and, started with the votes. We got power if we stick together. The biggest problem is that we've been told so long that we were the underdogs that we tell ourselves that. And we're going to stay the underdogs as long as you think that, you know, and that we don't count. And, I mean, that's what scares the white man, is that we really can overcome them if we really stick together. And start realizing that we have power. So
that's
our big problem. So we sit there and we fall for that. So as long as we fall for that, that's where we are. Foreign policies, we're giving everybody money. We do go, I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you, going to help you. And somebody here says they need help. You got to jump through a ring over a landmine and try to get up there to where they want you to be to get their help if you were born here.
Right.
You know, but we do help everybody. We stretch it so thin, it's like there's nothing for us. And that's why we are shortchanging America, because we're helping everybody else, you know. And, yes, some of the things they want to do to women and people over there, we should if we can. But there are some people who come over here just to use the system because they learn. They learn that the system over here will help them. You know, and as far as education, some of them come over here and get educated. They go back. So, and what our people don't know, we can go over there and get some of their education. It's available. If you go ahead and open up and look at it, it's available. And it's cheaper Mm-hmm. And you can get that, and it's available if you're willing to go. They come over here to try to figure out what new things we're doing so they can bring it home. And then they go teach their people. But we always stay in our little box, and we happy because I'm safe right here. And we don't want to get out of that box. We want to stay in the safety zone. And it's okay sometimes to step out of safety and stand up and say what you got to say and learn and figure out. And as far as family values, that is the biggest problem with everything is your family value. What happened from, like, when y'all talk about the Chinese, my nephew married a Japanese. They have three children.
Mm-hmm.
The little boy is 3 years old, bilingual.
Mm.
She makes sure he learns her language as well as American.
Mm-hmm.
She makes it very, and like you say, they come out the womb teaching them, reading books, both languages to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're talking about moving back to Japan because they teach and they work with them.
Right.
They don't sit around and say, I'm watching Barney. No, you're not going to watch Barney. You're going to read.
Right.
You know, nothing that's just the muster mind, everything. So it's a part of us. If we start reaching our children, reaching the people, and letting them know you can make a difference, you can stand, the politics will change. There will be a switch if people start realizing that, yes, it counts. That's why our forefathers, they did for us to get the vote. They were willing to die because they knew that their vote did count. And, yes, it does count.
Right.
Even when it don't go the right way, it counts. Because it shows
them,
some people,
during that election between Bush and Gore, we came out as a force to be reckoned with. It showed, and the ballot showed in every state that Gore won, he won. And it showed that the state that this is being slaughtered, he actually won. But they said, so if it counted, why you snatched that away from us? And we came out as a force to be reckoned with. We came out
but
as
we
one.
Gotta keep it up. We can't just let one defeat
so
stop
run.
Stevie B, let her finish because we have to. We know we can go back and forth with you, but
keep on going. When we fail, we can't just say, "Oh, we can't get stop it." Stop saying we can't.
Mm-hmm.
We are no longer the minority.
Well,
we really are the majority.
Right.
I'm not
look
saying
around.
What I'm saying is that wasn't even a failure. That was just a robbery. That was a straight stick up.
But you know what?
I
get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, Stevie B. But even if it was a robbery per se, even if you was out in the street and somebody robbed you, that's not going to stop you from walking down that same street. So you gotta look at it like that too. Like we've all been in some type of form where somebody's taking something from us. But what she's saying is that don't stop us from doing what we need to do. And if we feel like it's wrong, if we came out in numbers, and if we went as hard as we did when we voted the first time, and we demanded that they recount and recheck and really put our 2 cents in, then it could have went a whole nother way. But we didn't. We let that discourage us, and we turned the other cheek. We let them dictate and run away with that when we could have stepped up. That's what you're trying to say, right, Lady C?
Yeah, we got to quit letting them tell us we know no more.
Where's our hostess at?
I'm right here. I've been here.
He got real quiet on me. Like, wait a minute. Why?
I'm listening to the conversation. Lady C is on point.
Right.
What you're saying is absolutely on point. I was just sitting here like, that's right. It's on point. Because, you know, we all need to stop getting, we let our past define us in history. It doesn't define who we are now. And we need to stop with this, I can't do, we need to stop with that. And realize that, like you said, we came up with as much drive as we did when, you know, President Obama was first elected. Then there's nothing we could do. I mean, I didn't see, you know what, it's so funny. The only other time I've seen that much momentum since the whole Obama election was when the Mega Millions came out. Did you see black people? I'm saying, let me tell you something.
I'm
going to tell you something. I
Nobody came out.
Yeah.
Miss so-and-so, Miss Susie, who never comes out without. I was like, damn, everybody's getting into this. I'm like, it's crazy. It's like Obama fever in there. And I'm thinking, damn,
yeah.
This Mega Millions brought everybody out the house. Everybody came out.
I'm just saying, if you go, be cautious. I'm not saying we can't at all. I would never say we can't do nothing. We did a lot. We did a lot for this country.
We need to stop.
We did a good hell of a lot.
I have to say we can be cautious, brother, but we need to stop being cautious. Because our caution turns into fear real quick.
Yeah.
So we need to sometimes throw caution to the wind and do what the hell needs
jump
to be done
in,
and think about the consequences later. That's what
it's
we need to do. Just jump in feet first, and then just, you know, because caution ain't got us nowhere yet. Okay? Mm. We got to stop playing the game and stop playing opposite and just jump in there and just play the game the way they playing it, because we losing. We're losing.
Learn a good defense.
That's
learn
true.
A good defense. Quick
running,
learn a good defense.
That's true.
If you see something, do it. If you want to do something, don't sit up there and say, well, let me move with caution. Sometimes you just got to fly by the seat of your pants and just do it. And before you know it, damn, by the time you open your eyes, you're like, I done landed with both feet on the ground. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I never expected that. Why? Because our caution, black folk caution, turned into fear real quick. And it only takes is one naysayer to turn you around.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna be careful. You better not do that. You know, it's always one. That's why Harriet Tubman killed him.
You don't. Yep.
Every time she saw one that looked like
true.
He had fear in his eye, she shot him. She said, "Oh, nope. You look like you
that's
ain't
true.
Got no
you
clothes
know,
on. You got to go."
Yeah,
so we need
that,
to
wave. That's a wave before Harry Potter. That's when he was coming out of Egypt. With Moses.
Mm.
There always was that one that sat there and said, oh, but wasn't we rather better in Egypt? No.
Harry Tubman shot him. She's like, oh, no, we can't have that here. Okay. And you know what? Because if you even looked like you was about to tell, you wasn't telling nobody that night.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
She took no prisoners, but you know what?
Right about
would
that.
She have freed as many people as she did if she had to listen
nope.
to that one? Listen,
nope.
We ain't never going to make it, y'all. We always somebody chains to this day.
You know what? Goodbye. Goodbye.
You know what I'm talking about. We ain't going to make it, y'all. There was always one.
Always lost.
And if we listen to that one, you know what? You're damn right. We might as well just, we would still be in chains to this day if she listened to that one. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the butterfly effect. One
we need
thing
to,
could affect
you know,
history.
And even you know, we shouldn't rely on the past, but we got to also look at the past. Like, even in the 60s when the civil rights movement was going strong, we banded together. And that's how we was able to make that change. And now that there's more of us and we have the disposals, we have the tools at our disposal now. You know, back then they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter.
Right.
They didn't have social networking and network and World Wide Web. Now we can go. We can touch people in Europe and we can touch people in Egypt as well as touch people that's you know in Washington and Long Island and Los Angeles and things like that. You know, without having to send a birdie with a note attached to his foot. You know what I mean? Like and we've seen that even with, you know, some of the entertainment and you know, some of the responses that we've been getting when they put these petitions up online and you know, it really does make a difference, even like in the Trayvon Martin case and even with the Coney 2012. Look at that. That all started over the internet. And, you know, 16.6 million people it affected because over 16 million people watched that video and actually, you know, tuned in or you know, Googled this man or researched and stuff like that and learned and taught themselves, you know. So, you know, we can band together and we'll definitely make a splash.
Exactly. We just got to stop being scary. On that note, that's going to put it into our show today on foreign policy. It was a lively discussion. I think we got a lot hashed out. A lot of views were exchanged. It was an excellent mix. It was a wonderful show.
You know, mm-hmm. we have black reporter coming in here throwing, you know, oranges into our salad.
Oh, boy. You see how it goes when black reporter doesn't show up? I'm sorry to have to say it. Did you just see how this last hour went with black reporter last night? There was no talk about sunflower seeds. Right. There was no talk about sunflower seeds. Did y'all notice that?
Yeah, I
love
noticed.
You, Black Reporter, but, you know.
Love you, Black Reporter, but step your game
up, brother. Sometimes you have an archives moment, you know, you get a little archives of
comment. Yeah, because he just, you talk about something left, oh, my God. And I guess he was, that's why he wants you to hurry up and make your announcement, Crush, that you can make right now about Full Fantasy Radio
right.
on Thursday.
Because he wasn't going to be here, and that's probably what it was, but still
exactly.
all, there's
so
a,
why did he say,
a,
you know,
right, we run our ship a certain way, and that's
exactly.
the whole
he comes
story.
To the door talking about Thursday. Here we are on Monday, first thing to come out of his mouth, on Thursday. Tuesday.
We love you, Black Reporter, but just to inform people, we are on air tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. The call-in number is the same, 805-830-8320, and that will be the Adult Zone with
yep.
the Crush and Black Reporter, who is not, I may add, second in command. He is just there.
Good times.
We're going to talk about Good Time. We're going to dissect that show. Because I believe that Good Times, watching that episode, a couple of episodes, I think they could have been got the hell out of those projects.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about socially. Do you believe that socially we hold ourselves back from success?
Mm.
Florida Evans, somebody should have tied her ass up a long time ago, and they would have been got the hell out of those projects. Okay. So we're going to examine Florida Evans and why the hell they stayed in those damn projects so long. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that Michael, we're going to examine the kids. Michael, who was the militant one. JJ, who was just the clown. Thelma, who was the beauty. And according to JJ, the beast. We're going to talk about James leaving. We're going to talk about this whole family. We're going to really dissect this whole family. So if you've never watched Good Times before, you better watch it now, because we're going to be talking about that show. But I'm sure everybody's going to know exactly what I'm talking about with Good Times.
Yes.
Did this family, did they hold themselves back from doing what they were supposed to do? Could they have gotten out of the projects a long time ago? They had a lot of chances to get the hell out of there, you know. So do we hold ourselves back? You know, do we hold ourselves back? Because if they'd have listened to James, they'd have been the hell out of there. But Good Times, that's going to be our focus of our social issue. And it's going to be, do we, as African-Americans, do we hold ourselves back from success? Is it conditional? We're going to talk about the Willie Lynch. We're going to dig into that Willie Lynch letter.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's read the Willie Lynch letter knows. We're going to take that apart. We're going to examine that, and I'm going to find key things in there that are still going on to this day that have us still in the frame of mind of a slave. So you're going to want to do your homework. You're going to want to offer something other than static and air to this conversation we're going to have next week. So do your research. Willie Lynch letter. We're going to post it early enough so everybody can have their material together. Willie Lynch letter, Good Times. We're going to dissect that. We're going to get into it. We have to go into overtime on that show, Crush. We just may have to do overtime because that's going to be a good one.
That's going to be rough.
Please.
That's
going to
be
on time. We're just not going to have time for nonsense next show. So anybody that's going to come on with cracked jokes about Crush running down the street naked, I'm going to be put on mute. I'm not going to be bothered with that next show. It's going to be a totally serious yet funny show. You know, if you don't have anything to offer positive, which means we've got to put a gag on Black Reporter. But other than that, it's going to be a good time. So definitely going to want to come. It's going to be divided up. I don't think we're going to get to play any music next show, depending on how it flows. I don't think we're going to have time for music, child.
We're gonna have to have that top of the hour break so we can transition into the next topic.
Oh yes,
that sounds like a two show type situation right there.
Oh no,
You may wanna slide over to True Crimes with that.
Hey, Blake. I just wanted to say the lady say it early. I want to say happy birthday because I'm leaving out tomorrow to go to Jerusalem so I could be out there for the Passover. So I just want to say happy birthday.
Okay, thank you. Cool.
Yeah, I'm leaving out tomorrow to go to Jerusalem, so I want to say happy birthday. I won't be here for Thursday's show and everything.
Will you be here Monday?
Yeah, I'll be back Monday. I'm staying out there till the 12th. You know, I'm going out for the Passover, and I'm staying till the 12th and come back.
Wow, that's awesome.
Right. Okay. Wow, so.
International. Wow. So you're not going to be here for the 12th? I mean, you're not going to be here for the 9th. That's the 12th. We said the 9th. You're going to be in Jerusalem.
No, because, I'm leaving tomorrow to get out there early so I can get situated. The Passover starts on the 5th. It starts on the 5th. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'll try to find a way to call in. If you can Skype us, that would be awesome, too.
If you have your laptop or whatever and you can Skype us, that would be awesome.
Okay, I'll Skype y'all. I do got Skype, too.
Mm-hmm. You can call us through Skype.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
That would definitely be interesting because, you know I want your two cents on that Willie Lynch.
Oh, yeah,
so,
you know I read that book like five times from front to back.
Right, so you know I want your two cents on that Willie Lynch, so. Definitely on that. But, okay,
yeah.
okay, Florida. Look, I was about to call it Florida Evans. Okay, Brick.
You want to call
Florida
Evans.
I'm
going to
call
Florida
Evans. I
swear I'm
about to
call
Florida
Evans.
It's just like, Brick made a point, you know what I mean? It's a lot of times they put out the projects.
Right. With selling his artwork, he was a very talented artist. Yeah, that's going to be a nice conversation.
Yep.
Not
that
only that,
nice
how many times Jay found Buddy in the alley?
But no, they were like, even, you know, I kind of stand the moral values of that, but yeah, okay.
Remember how JJ was running numbers?
Right.
He had all his money, he bought the TV in the house. And she said, JJ, get the hell out of my house. Remember? He was making good money.
That's also touch on the hot topic of the truth of who we are as black people and where we really come from.
True.
Remember the episode of Michael, where Michael and his mother got in an argument when JJ painted Christ, and painted the true
right.
image of Christ?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, with black Jesus?
The black Christ. Yeah, black Jesus.
Oh, when they put it up, all of a sudden their luck started changing?
Yeah,
she didn't like it. She wanted the white Jesus on the wall. Basically, we got to close out now. We done already stayed too long at the fair. All right, I want to thank everyone for tuning
right.
in. And I guess, well, shoot, I'll never close out with a song any other time. I mean, is there anything you want? Close out with a song, Crush. You are the weird
close
one.
Close out
with
a song?
Right?
I get to pick the song?
Like, you on the one and two, right?
I'm already here. I get to pick the song? I'm going to pick the song.
You get to pick whatever song we close
out. Can I get the song?
On.
All right, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Okay, this song is dedicated to Soul Fantasy Radio because we popping. See y'all Tuesday. See y'all Tuesday. We had a good show.
Bye-bye. Very good, very good. It was an excellent show.
We had a good show. Thanks to Marva and the guests and the 803 and everybody that tuned in and, you know, held us down and really, really supported Brick's House.
Yes, definitely will
be tuned in Monday. Tune in tomorrow. And the song I'm going to go with is this one.
Ain't no stopping now. give vibe. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Move.